Want to be confident when talking about yourself and explaining what you do? Join my free 21-day confidence building course. You'll learn how to construct a personal elevator pitch, learn how to not be awkward in social situations, how to have awesome conversations, among other important skills to help you crush life. Best of all, it's free. Sign up now at freeconfidencecourse.com. From the C Method, my name is Christina Canters, and this is Stand Out, Get Noticed, the podcast that helps you communicate with confidence and clarity so you can get what you want in business and in life. To subscribe to the show and download the back catalogue, go to thecmethod.com/podcast. What's up, peeps? It's Christina here with you for episode 38. Now, tell me, do you feel like you have permission to be 100% human at work? Does your boss or do your team members treat you like a human? Or if you are the boss or are a manager, do your staff come into work feeling happy, excited, motivated, and free to be themselves? And if you don't know, are you willing to find out? This concept of being 100% human is something I was very curious to chat about with this week's guest, who, by the way, is a force to be reckoned with. Christine Kaur is a leader in the business world. She's a passionate entrepreneur who can't sit still. She's a self-proclaimed change junkie, and she lives for innovation and growth. Her company, Chorus Executive, specializes in executive recruitment. They also coach and mentor high-performing, talented people to help them develop their personal brand and find the right organization for them. She's also chair of the Victorian Development Board of the Hunger Project, an organization that helps people in poverty-stricken countries feed themselves and their families. Remember how I spoke at the Fight for Your Why event, and I podcasted about it in episode 35, I think it was. Well, that event raised money for the Hunger Project, and that's how I met Christine. In this conversation, we're talking about what Christine learned from her trip to Necker Island with Richard Branson. Yeah, that's Richard Branson's island. And we talk about why it's important to be authentic and 100% human at work, and also why it's so valuable to say yes to opportunities, even if there's no money involved. I really enjoy this chat. Christine is super passionate and super funny, and she really cares about helping people and really bringing a positive difference to other people's lives, and she's super adventurous too. So I hope you enjoy the episode as well. Show notes will be at thecmethod.com/Christine. That's Christine with a C-H. Okay, so let's meet the bubbly ball of energy that is Christine Kaur. I saw how you went and partied with Branson. I saw you dancing on a bar with him. What was that like?
It was very spontaneous. And it's fascinating, actually, because I've been to two other major events and I haven't danced. And one was in Uganda and everybody danced in the rain with the villagers. And I remember just sitting back and not quite crying, but quite reserved from the whole thing because I just wasn't there. I wasn't free enough to do it. And in Antarctica, and I actually caught up with one of the girls that I went with, and she said, "Chris, I'm going to get you to dance one day." And I was, because I didn't, again, in Antarctica, I just didn't. Like, everybody was out on the dance floor, and when it got to that stage, I was like, no, because I'd lost my dancing legs. And then I got to Necker. And I don't know what has snapped for me. Well, I do know what snapped, but something had snapped in my head. So other things had changed. But that was the last thing, I think, for me of just unleashing and stuff. And then when he got up, and it was just all meant to be, I was dancing at the front with Jacinta McDonald, who you'll see I'm standing next to, and he got up there, and it was like the stool to get up to the bar was right in front of me, and I just looked at her and went, "Let's go." And she just went, she said another word, but she went, "Yeah." And we just climbed up there, and that was it. So it was unthought through.
Or did he just turn on the music and go?
No, well, the music was there. So we had, oh my God, I'm not going to remember her name. Anyway, she's quite a famous American singer. She sings American Boy.
Oh.
Not Adele.
No, she's British. Estelle?
Estelle, her. So, sorry, I'm clicking away. American Boy. Yeah, her. So she's been singing. She'd been singing. Then we had, you know, music, blah, blah, blah. And that's when all that happened. So we were actually dancing to Estelle, actually. You didn't see her there because she was on the bar. She got off the bar. She was standing somewhere else and then we hopped up on the bar.
And so how did that feel to be just dancing freely?
Well, it wasn't that free, actually, because I was worried I was going to fall down because it was only that wide. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to, you know. But it was like a release. It was a bit like a champagne pour, you know, like lots of stuff inside but hadn't come out for a long time. So I haven't really funny, I dance at home with the kids, like we do Dance Central and we muck around. But in private, well, in public, in that sort of environment, I think over the last few years, business has been such a way that, you know, as a managing director of a business, you need to be a certain way. So I contained some of that. And then when I went there and everybody was just crazy and unleashed, then I became unleashed and a little bit unhinged and it was just great. It was very freeing.
Did you bring that back into your business? That unhinged, free?
Yeah. So I brought a couple of things back. I think I've been interviewed about that before and the first thing I said is that I feel so much more love, which sounds really odd, very strange, but it's like going there and talking to people who have had such great but yet difficult business in, you know, circumstance and personal difficulties, to see them come out and just love life and just be so loving and caring and open and generous, then you think of yourself, and I think I just felt more open and much more open to giving, much more open to hearing and listening, and just generally just happier. So I've come back like that. You know, and I have to be, you know, sometimes my team are saying, well, stop being so generous. Like, so I've got the most amazing team and they'll often say, Chris, you're being too generous now. Let's just step that back a little bit. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. How's that? So because I'm just, you know, I had actually walking into here, I was just having that similar conversation. So my business partner saying, Chris, you need to not be so generous and we need to step that, you know.
What are you being generous with?
I think generous with time, generous with information, generous with money, generous with whatever I've got to give.
I caught you at a good time then.
I generous, say yes a lot.
Generous enough to give, yeah, to have but, this podcast.
But that's, but that's the thing, right? So people, so I say yes a lot. And it's a, there's no, I don't necessarily then say, well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? It's about, you need a hand, I can give you a hand. It doesn't put me way out. I'm not traveling 5 hours to do it for you. I mean, there's balance. I've got to have balance. But you came to me, you asked 45 minutes. Why wouldn't I?
Mm. Oh, well, I really appreciate
but you,
that.
but I guess that's why I, you know. So some people always say, well, what do you get for that? And I go, well, I don't know what I get for that. But one of our values here in this business, and it's one of my life values, is karma, right? So we live by this, of course, and I live by that by life. So I'll just do what's right, and then what's right will come back by me. And that may or may not be by the person that I've done right by, but it will eventually be, if that makes sense. So that's how I live my life.
One thing that I really love about you is your passion and your energy.
Mm.
And I've read that you said that you're a change junkie.
Mm.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, we never settle. So just when we're getting to a stage where things are starting to settle and be right and can be cruisy, I'll create some other thing. So say at home, right? So we're just in a phase now where we've settled a few things at home, we've moved into this business, you know, we've moved into this office. And then all of a sudden I've said to my husband, I think I want to expand and I think let's buy the next door or let's move next door as well. And he's like, Chris, we don't need that. And I'm like, I know, but it's opportune and it's a good time, so let's do that. So And even my business partners, one of them said, Chris, just as things go well, you're going to create something else. And that's what happens. I have a short attention span, but that doesn't mean I don't finish anything. So I'm a completer finisher. So in all those tests, so I start something and I finish it. Like I like to tick things off, done. But I also do get bored quite easily. And that's why I've reinvented my business, my services, what I offer to my, you know, people around me. Might even be the reason why I've changed my brand name so many times. But and I've started many businesses. Some of them have been successful, some of them haven't. But I have ideas and I just make things happen.
Because you started off doing recruiting, right, for sales, marketing, communications.
And that's what we still
people.
Do, yeah. So what happened was, started that, we had no idea, Sasha and I, when we first started, absolutely none. We started that, grew it to 2000 we started. We ran that business with some few iterations for about 8 years. I then merged it, became Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. Was part of that for 5 years, but a year in, 4 years into that, or 3 years into that, I hated it. And then 4 years into that, that's when I ran away to Uganda and thought, I can't do this anymore. And I came back from there quite changed and quite inspired and knowing that my life is very precious. So, because if I had been born in Uganda instead of being born in Australia, I would be dead. Because I had trouble with my second pregnancy, like I would not have survived. I hardly survived here, so there's no way I would have survived there. So for me, every day, I realise that every day is a precious gift for me, so therefore I have to live that passionately. So then that's when we created Chorus Executive, but what we've done was still recruitment. So along the way, it's always been recruitment, but we've added more things in. So we've added the coaching and the personal branding and the other bits and pieces through to make it a bigger business. And that's how I've kept changing things, I guess.
I asked Christine about the B team, which is part of the reason why she went to Necker Island with Branson. I was interested in this because they're all about being 100% human, which I found fascinating. So here's what the B team is all about.
The philosophy is that to be profitable, sustainable, and I suppose meaningful businesses moving forward, that we have to treat our employees respectfully and as if they're 100% human, right?
Doesn't sound hard, does it?
It's not hard. It's not hard, but it costs, and I think that's the issue. So, and it's a movement, so they're calling it a movement, and what they're saying is they want businesses to come on board who want to be 100% human. And being 100% human can mean different things to different organisations and different individuals. But it's how that you can bring your whole self, because the reality is that nobody turning up to work, you're not in isolation. The worker, Christina, is still impacted by the fight with the boyfriend, Christina, with the I haven't got enough sleep, Christina, with the I've had a hangover, Christina, right? So you can't compartmentalize. And I think the way that work, the Industrial Revolution, you know, has made us, we sell time from 9 to 5, we sell time, and that time is owned by somebody else, and you are to act and behave in a certain way consistently. No ups, no downs, right? So that's the theory of it. 100% human says, well, that's not quite true in a way, that the person turning up is this person that's impacted by so many things that will have ups and downs. So how do you allow that to be and allow people to play to their strengths? Because again, you know, the old philosophy was, well, here's your appraisal, here's what you're good at, but let's not pay attention to that. Here's all the things that you're terrible at that we need to work on, right? Whereas now it's more around, okay, these are the things that are impacting your ability to get forward or do a great job. Let's see whether you can change that, want to change that, should change that. Or whether we go in a different direction and you get a different type of job, or you go take a different role, or you play to your different strengths, or you hire someone else that can do that stuff so you can be exceptional in your strengths. Because it's easier to improve your strengths than to overcome your weaknesses, right? Having said that, you have to have there has to be a line of what's acceptable or not.
Does it also take into consideration how people work and at different times?
Absolutely. So it takes, so the whole concept is, again, each business will do it different ways. So 100% human means how do we incorporate, you know, respectful, looking at your team, looking at diversity, looking at, so I think that I can't remember all of them, but because I didn't read it for a while, but it's like respect, team, diversity, equality, and there's one other value, right? So how do you bring that into your workplace? So, and it's very different. So there's no prescription to what it must be. So for some, for example, WordPress, that they don't believe in moving people geographically. So they don't have a head office. So if you're the best person for this job and you live in San Francisco and your boss is in Montana, that's okay, right? They won't make you move to him or him to hurt you to make that very old school hierarchical thing that you must sit in the same place, right? Here, when we came back, we did a workshop of how to be 100% human, and that was really interesting actually because we've got a group of very passionate people here. The upside of passion is fun, joy, dancing on table. The bad part of passion is bad temper, right?
You get fired up.
You slam phones, you know, you swear, whatever. So there's an up and down of both of those things. And when we talked about being 100% human, it was like, well, being 100% human on the upside is fine. Being 100% human on the downside is not so fine and actually not acceptable in the workplace.
If you come in going, oh, I'm so hungover, I'm not doing any work today.
There's a bit of that, but there's a bit of, you know, you have a fight with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever and you come in and you're just swearing and grumpy and slamming doors and, you know, you smash a glass against the sink because you can't be bothered to, you know, that's not good. Mm. So that's human and that might be your true self, but that's actually not acceptable in the workplace. So it was a really interesting conversation that we had. I guess the main premise or the main thoughts coming out of being 100% human is just accepting that people are people and that we can't be robotic and that we have to nurture all the different parts of ourselves. So we have to nurture the creative, the spiritual, the physical health, the family health. You know, you gotta love all those things and nurture and not make people feel bad because they need to go home to see the sports pub or, you know, that they're really trying to give up smoking, so give them time to do those things or, you know, their religious freedom, whatever it may be. So it's just...
So what's the benefit out of doing all of those things?
Well, all the studies that you see is the higher engagement leads to higher productivity, leads to higher retention and, you know, the first year of employment of a person is three times their annual salary. So if you paid someone $100,000, the cost actually to a business is $300,000 in the first year. So if you can hire less people, which totally goes against recruitment, but if you can actually hire less people because they're staying 4 years instead of three or three instead of two, you're actually putting a lot of money to the bottom line. And also when you've got happier people, you're more productive. So if you go to work and you know that, you know, things are good and you like your boss and you're doing challenging work and you're going to be rewarded, you're going to spend more time working than you are going to be bitching around the corner because you didn't get this or you didn't get that or she got that and he got that, right? So I think happier people are more productive and they're also better with customers, so anybody client-facing. So if you think every time you go to a Subway or a McDonald's or a restaurant or a Medibank or wherever you go, if you've got a happy person there, it's so much nicer to be there,
oh,
right?
So good.
If you've got a grumpy, right, when you turn up, that's no good. So again, if they're feeling that they're allowed to be their authentic self and 100% human when they're at work, they're going to be happy with their customers, which then leads to you recommending that organisation or that restaurant or that Pilates studio. It means that you come back again, so you're making more money for them. So there's this whole cycle of people being happy. Like, it's just nicer to be around people that are happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know that I've learned a bit about work culture and how you go about changing the culture of an organisation. And places where I've worked before, there were definitely initiatives to say, okay, we've got to change the culture. However, it was quite difficult when it wasn't coming from top level.
It's impossible.
Management. Because I found that there were a lot of people really enthusiastic about it, but then it wasn't enough to get it going. So what can people, you know, what can people in an organization do if, you know, top level is not quite there, but the people want to make
the change? What can they do? That's interesting. Firstly, I would say that the top has to engage it because because they're the leaders of the business, and whatever they set in play, it's like values in a family. Mum and dad have to set the values, and then it sort of flows down from there. However, if you're in a situation where it's middle management or whatever that wants to change the culture, I think first thing is you at least need to get the leadership team understanding the financial benefits of changing culture, right? Even if they don't understand it emotionally, you actually say, here's the feedback that we've got. Like, I would dare say make it more rational. So here's the feedback that we've got. Our engagement is this score. Our retention is this. It's costing us this. They're not happy about, I don't know, lack of communication or lack of good reward system. Let's put these things in place. And you, management, even though you don't believe in this greater communication, let's just fake it till you make it. Let's just, you know, you don't feel that you have to communicate, but you actually do. So let's schedule that in. So if it doesn't come naturally, what generally happens in any change management scenario is, even if you don't want to do something, if you're forced to do something, you get positive reinforcement, you'll do it again. Then you get more positive reinforcement, then you do it again. That's how you change habits, right? So, and I think if that's the case, that's what you would have to do with senior leadership. I would say it would be really hard. If you don't have a senior leadership team that are going to buy into this, I don't know. I've never seen it work if the senior leadership team is not bought into it, at least some of them.
So do you work with senior leadership teams as well? Like, do you actually help companies implement this?
Yeah, no. So what I do now is that I work with organisations but also with individuals of how to find their own place where they can be 100% human. So my role is when I speak to employers and they say, this person must have I try to bring the human person back into it. And I say, well, why would this person want to work here? Why, you know, why, if they can already do it in this business, why would they come to your business if they're not going to learn anything? Why would they come if they're going to earn less? Why would they come if they're going to have to drive an extra half an hour? So I try to bring that human element. With my coaching work with candidates, I try to bring a different perspective of what, you know, being somewhere and finding a job or finding a career that inspires them rather than what they just can do. So I'm loving this lady I'm working with at the moment, and she came in with really clear goals that she wanted to be a, you know, general manager of a business and do this, that and the other. And as we came around and we did more coaching, I was challenging her more and questioning her, she actually came in and said, I want to write. I want to be a writer.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's quite different from... And she said, I know. And then we worked, and then I said, oh, what do you want to write? And she said, oh, I'll write about this, this and this. And I said, why do you want to write that? Is that what you're passionate about? She said, no, not really. And I said, well, why would you want to write about that? And she said, because that's what I know about. And I said, but all right, let's pretend that you could write about anything. What would it be? And she said, I'd want to write about this over here. And I was like, well, why can't you do that? She goes, well, I guess I can. So, you know, it's about...
I love that.
Yeah, so it's about... And then...
You start asking questions. People often never ask themselves these questions. And no one ever asks them that. What do you really, really want?
What do you want to do? So in all my coaching, I always ask a question. And this comes out of the Hunger Project, actually. If it wasn't for X, I would do Y. So most of us have a reason, but we don't do something. So if it wasn't for the fact that I'm a mother, I'd travel the world. Okay, well, actually, why? Why can't you pack up the kids? So many other people put kids in a camper van and go. It's actually not the fact that you're a parent that's stopping you. You're stopping you. If it wasn't for the fact that, you know, I didn't have any university degree, I would be a managing director. Okay, well, go and get a university degree. You know, what's stopping you? Oh, I can't. Why? You know, so there's always something that stops you. But ultimately, nothing stops you. Only yourself stops you.
I read this great, I think it was an interview. Oh, no, it was, do you know Matthew Michaelwitz?
Yeah. I like his book.
I've seen him speak and he's really funny, really engaging.
I like him.
And I think it was him, and he was saying that he likes to ask people, he likes to ask everyone he meets, if you had 1 year to live, what would you do? Has he asked you that?
Yeah. Okay. Not.
Yeah, he likes to ask people that. And he said most of the time their eyes light up and they go, oh, I would go traveling, I would go do this, I would go do that. And he was saying, and then he thinks to himself, why does it take death, or the premise of death, that, you know, that's about to happen, to actually make people go and do the things that they really want to do? Instead of saying, hang on, you've got so many years left now, and in fact, you don't know
how many years.
Death might be in a year. You never know.
Yep. Yep.
Yet you're just, you're waiting for death to be imminent before you actually go and do what you want to do.
Yep.
And I just really like that story, and he writes it about it in his book, Life in Half, Life in Half a Second.
Yeah, Love in 30 Seconds. I love it. So, so my year, this year, because I'm basing a lot of my life on this at the moment, I've been to Antarctica, I went to Necker Island,
yeah,
I went to Singapore, but that was, you know, and then I've just signed to go to the Amazon. I'm signing up, so I fly out on the 28th of January.
Your kid's going?
No. I've written my book, which launches, so I'm launching it actually in the Amazon. So that's because I'm just saying yes. So, you know, we're starting a new business. Like, we're doing a whole lot of different things because of that. So, as I said to you, when I came back from Uganda, I realised that I'm lucky to be here. I really am lucky to be here. And also, I do feel it's a duty that I've got to give my kids a role model to live a passionate life. I do not want them to live an obligated life. I did live that life for quite a long time. And as a parent, and as an owner of a business, I have responsibilities. You know, if I'm not financially responsible, my team can't pay their mortgages and my children can't eat, right? So I've got to be responsible, but at the same time, I've got to be responsible in a passionate way, because if I come in and it's all, oh, I've got to see another candidate, or I've got to do another, I've got to make another dinner. Like, it's life's horrible. So, and I refuse to have that life.
I love that. That's so good. More people need to have your attitude.
Yeah, well,
and just saying yes to things. Like, I love learning new things, and whenever I take an interest in something, I do everything I can to learn about it.
Yeah.
And the other week, I actually went to a property finance seminar, which, because that's an area that I want to learn more about, and it was a free one.
Yeah.
And everyone I spoke to was like, "Oh, it's going to be a scam. They're going to try and sell you stuff." And even friends who were interested in property were like, "Oh, no, I don't trust that. It's dubious." They were really dubious.
Yeah.
And I went, and it was so good, and I learned so much, and the people there were amazing, and they didn't try and sell me anything. And I came away from that going, that's just amazing, and I'm so much better off for going. But, and I understand why people are dubious about property seminars, because there are a lot of dodgy ones out there. But the number of people that just shut the idea down before even actually exploring it or thinking about it was, you know, I think that represents a lot of people's attitudes to a lot of things in life. They hear Absolutely. An idea and they're just like, "Oh, nah, I'm dubious."
I've read about something like that, and they're all dodgy. So I always say, when I get hear that, I always say, have you already ever gone out with a really bad guy? I go, yeah. Okay. So never go out with another one, because they're all the same. You know that? And I'm like, no, they're not all the same. I was like, yeah, exactly. So not all recruiters are the same. So I get that all the time. All recruiters are terrible. I'm like, no, they're not. Some are terrible. Some are dreadful, but some are amazing. Like, same. Not all men are bastards. Not all women are money, you know, gold diggers. Not all, you know, not all Germans are blah, blah, blah. Not all Chinese are good accounting, right? So, like, you can't say that. So I'm the same thing. You know, be aware, always be aware. But, yeah, not all property investment people are dodgy. Some are very dodgy. And I think, for me, that's sad for the people that are saying no before they even get a try. You know, because the answer is already no. Like, they already haven't learnt anything by not turning up. Whereas even if you went in there and they did try to sell you something, my chances are you still would have walked away with some piece of information that you didn't have before. And if you're smart enough to know that they're trying to sell you something, then you just say, no, thank you.
I usually have the opinion, is this going to take me backwards by going? Is it going, any time there's an opportunity for me to be a part of something, or, you know, sometimes people go, "Oh, if they're not paying you, then don't do it." And I'm like, yeah, but it's a really great opportunity, and I'm actually, and I think, am I worse off for doing this? And if it's actually really adding a lot of value to me, then I say yes.
That's right.
Because a lot of people just go, if it's not this, then then done.
So and I think payment is a really interesting thing. So how do you get paid? Sometimes it's money, mostly in our, it's money. But then, you know, I think I work really hard for the Hunger Project and I don't get paid anything for that. In fact, I pay, you know, like I invest my own money or I donate my own money to the Hunger Project. So I paid it for the privilege of being there, but I get so much more back in thought, in satisfaction, in knowing that I'm changing generations and their future, of knowing that I'm, you know, so
and still, just, you're profiting, but just not in a monetary way.
That's right. So I think that's the way to look at things, whereas I think still many people are just very black and white on, if you don't get paid for your time to do this, then it's not worth it.
Tell me about your book that's coming out.
Okay, so my book is at the printer now. Very excited. I get it, I think, in 2 weeks. It's called Higher Love, as in H-I-R-E, because I believe that ultimately what every employer wants to say is, I love my team.
Yeah.
And what every candidate or employee wants to say is, I love my job, I love going to work. So what we want to do is we want to hire people that can be in love at work, right? When you're in love at work, you're happier. It's all free. You're more creative. You're more productive. And ultimately, when you're more productive and more passionate, you're actually more profitable. So, and that's the premise of the book. So I do a step-by-step of how to, you know, write the job description, how to write the ad, how to interview people, how to actually identify what the type of person that you need in your business. And I take you through that process. And it's the same process that we use here. So that's what I've written about.
Fantastic. I look forward to reading it. And it's out on the 20th of December.
Yes, okay. We're not doing a launch till February because I'm going to the Amazon. I'm going to launch it there. I have to keep dropping that in because I'm so excited about that.
And I'm excited for you. I want to go to the Amazon.
Yeah, I know. Although my business partner, John, who he's coming with me, he said, I've just been reading about this fish that's in the Amazon that's 3 feet long. That you've got to be careful. If you fall in, they'll bite you. And I'm like,
is it a giant piranha?
No, there's piranhas that have teeth and there's other fish that doesn't have any, but it's 3 feet long and it eats other things whole.
It eats the piranhas.
So I don't know. Anyway, so yes, I'll get you a book.
Awesome.
So Higher Love.
Higher Love. Higher Love by Christine Kaur. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Massive thanks again to Christine Kaur of Chorus Executive for being an amazing guest on my show this week. Don't forget to keep an eye out for Christine's book, Higher Love. I'll put links to that in the show notes at thecmethod.com/Christine once the book is released. And I'll also put links in there to all the different ways you can reach out to and connect with Christine as well. The book sounds like it's an excellent resource for anyone in HR or recruiting or senior management positions. So if that's you, definitely check it out. And that wraps up episode 38. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you spending some time with me this week. And I'll see you next week for a very special Christmas episode. Actually, yes, because we're getting to that time of the year. I hope you're having an amazing wrap up to the end of your year and that things aren't too stressful for you. At least you know there's a podcast waiting for you next week. Whatever you do, keep on being awesome. My name's Christina Canters and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed. This week's song is Human by The Killers, seeing as we're talking about being human, I guess. Are we human or are we dancer? My sign is vital, my hands are cold, and I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Oh, that one really hurts my hands.